Good morning, church. Today I've been asked to share with you about lament and the climate crisis. And I'll also be introducing you to some of mine and Ria's pot plants. This one is the first. In our readings today from Psalm 104, the psalmist describes the beauty of creation, declaring, "O Lord, what a variety of things you have made." So there's so much natural imagery through the Bible, isn't there? And such an amount of glorifying and enjoying of the natural and good things that God's made. And the psalmist goes on to say, "In wisdom you have made them all." The author understands how creation works, and he knew things like where the birds nest, where the mountain goats live, the great skill of a lion when it's hunting its prey, or you know, the vast array of creatures living in the water. They obviously knew creation intimately, and they must have spent time observing and learning how all the things fit together. And that inspired them to worship as a result. In verse 31 to the 31 of the psalm, just after the part we've heard this morning, it says, "God rejoices in his creation. The beauty and variety of all he's made brings God joy." Similarly, in the parable of the sower, which hopefully we're a little bit familiar with, Jesus demonstrates his own detailed understanding of creation. He describes the issues that can hinder the growth of crops. He knows how drought can cause plants to wither, or how rocky ground prevents the development of roots. Even though he was only a carpenter by trade, he knew the importance of nutritious soil for a bountiful harvest. Is this really a surprise, considering that Jesus' intimate knowledge of the workings of creation? Is that really a surprise? Because the Bible tells us how all things were created for Jesus and by Jesus. In him, all things hold together. He's Lord of all creation. And it's not a surprise that Jesus considers it important to observe the creation around us. But Jesus shows us something else too. He teaches us that not only does he have an intimate relationship with creation, but that also we can learn about our Heavenly Father through it. Whether it's through the relentlessness of weeds, or the character of birds, or the power of a mustard seed. Time and again, Jesus points to the Father and the way he works through creation. We do live in a busy world, and we often fail to take time to observe creation, at least I do. But as the writer of Proverbs advises, go to the ant, consider its ways. From the Psalms to the Gospels, we see the ways creation can reveal more of God's character and inspire us to worship, and we see how God delights and finds joy in all he's made. But when we look around us at the world today, we can see many ways that we've damaged this beautiful gift God's given us. Here is one of the more dishevelled plants that we have. It's been neglected. It's also just endured a house move. And regrettably, on a larger scale, the ways that we live and work and consume have broken creation. Many of the most serious harms to the planet are a result of climate change, which we know is man-made. Already the world has warmed by a full degree since pre-industrial levels. Ecosystems have broken down. Species are going extinct at record rates. The climate crisis is making deadly droughts, floods and storms more frequent and severe. I don't know if you know this, but actually there's some low-lying regions and islands which are uninhabitable due to sea level rise. Places which have been inhabited for generations, which they've had to completely evacuate and go hundreds of thousands of miles to find somewhere else to live. And many areas are growing increasingly inhospitable to life as the world heats, as there's desertification. Far from being a good stewards of creation, we have actually trashed creation. Sadly, the truth is, we're all complicit in harming creation And it's resulted in the loss of human life and animal life that is precious to God. We have damaged this beautiful gift of God, and we're feeling some of the effects of climate change in the UK, but the impacts are hitting people in poverty the hardest. I know that it's quite hard to grasp what all this really means. It's very big and abstract. So just going to quickly tell you the real world story of Orbisa. This is a case study from Tier Fund. And Orbisa basically is a 35-year-old mother who lives in the Afar region of Ethiopia. A few years ago, Orbisa could rely on the rains, but now, because of the changing climate, they're far less predictable. So she walks up to 10 hours a day, every day, to find water for her family to drink. Her livelihood depends on selling livestock, but drought has killed 9 of her 10 cows. She's not lost nearly half her goats too. Let's just pause for a second. The stark reality is that Orbisa is paying the price for emissions which have mostly been generated by developed nations like ours. When interviewed, she said this: "We used to get rain every 4 to 5 months. The area was very fertile and green, but it hasn't rained for 6 months, and I don't know when it will rain next. I feel worried whenever I think about the future." Around the world, millions of people like Orbisa are being pushed back into poverty because of climate change. In 2016, world hunger started to increase for the first time in a decade and has continued to increase every year since. And that's because of climate change and conflict, with climate change exacerbating the risk of conflict. The science is clear. The climate crisis is being caused by us, especially those of us in developed nations, and their impacts are accelerating. What's more, the worst impacts of climate change are yet to come, and we're simply running out of time to stop them. So, you know, I just want to acknowledge that we've probably heard this 100 times before, and I'm not here principally to tell you to eat less meat or travel less or recycle more. Today, I'm going to invite you to do something more fundamental, and that is simply to lament. As a visual aid for lament, I have this hardy, spiky cactus. I think in this series, we're learning that lament is about sharing authentically with God our grief and our pain. And of course, it's about that. It's also about the opposite, perhaps an equal amount about the opposite, which is sharing in God's grief and pain, to join with Him in lament. And some of you may naturally share a godly sense of grief and loss about the destruction of God's creation. However, if we're honest, many of us, myself included, struggle with apathy. We struggle to connect emotionally with an issue like climate change, which seems intangible. And we may feel that we haven't personally suffered from the climate crisis, so, you know. So I'll totally appreciate that we struggle with apathy, but I also know that God wants us to care about His creation, and we need to be attentive to God, to share His grief, to be pained by the injustice that pains Him. So wherever we are with this, let's take some time to prayerfully lament the climate crisis, to grieve for those globally like Orbisa who are suffering, and perhaps to invite God to share His heart with us so that we can start to share in how God, you know, feels about climate destruction. So we're going to have a short time to reflect, and then I'm going to lead us in a prayer, and I'll just invite you to join with me in that prayer. Father of creation, God of compassion, You created a world of wonder, of possibility and potential. You declared it to be good. For this we give You thanks, and to You be praise, honour and glory. Father of creation, God of compassion, This world is no longer as you intended it to be. Humanity has betrayed its calling to tend and keep. Creation groans. On our watch, we reap what we have sown. On our watch, sea levels rise. On our watch, forests are destroyed. On our watch, lives are lost. For this we weep. Lord, have mercy. And so now, with tears in our eyes, we look to you with regret, with repentance, knowing the difficult decades that we face as temperatures rise, extinctions increase, as we come to terms with our existential plight for our children. Lord, have mercy. For our grandchildren, Christ, have mercy. For the world's most vulnerable, Christ, have mercy. Father of creation, God of compassion, wake us from our slumber. Equip us afresh to be the justice-shaped people of God. Father of creation, God of compassion, wake us from our slumber. Equip us afresh to our priestly and prophetic calling, that we would speak truth in a culture of denial, that we would enact hope in a culture of despair, that we would face what will be with love-filled action, that in humanity's darkest hour you would empower us so we would bandage the wounds of those caught beneath the wheels of climate injustice. That in humanity's darkest hour we would have the courage to drive a spoke into the wheel of climate injustice itself. Father of creation, God of compassion, you created a world of wonder, of possibility and potential. You declared it to be good. In our grief, in our mourning, we give thanks. To you be praise, honour and glory. Amen. Our verse for the year is, for such a time as this, a verse taken from Esther in the Old Testament. Esther faced a desperate crisis, the potential genocide of her people, much as we face the mass loss of life resulting from climate change. Rather than keeping a low profile and hoping to save herself, instead she asked her people to pray for her while she risked her own life by approaching the king unsolicited. Through Esther, God delivered the Jews, and Esther teaches us that following Jesus requires us to speak up against injustice, even when it's costly to ourselves, and that we should act from a foundation of prayer. We are here for such a time as this, and when we start to share with God a lamenting climate breakdown, we will have the courage, the passion, and the urgency to do something. When we start to care about the climate crisis, like Esther, we will pray. Like Esther, we will step out of our comfort zone. Like Esther, we will appeal to those in government who have power. We must be honest that much of the harms caused by climate change are irreversible. But lament does not exclude hope. This final pot plant illustrates the hope that we have as Christians. Little smiley face there on the pot, hopefully you can see. And we read about this hope in Colossians 1, verse 19 to 20. Which says this, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, that's Jesus, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. So it says, to reconcile to himself all things, things on earth and things in heaven. Brothers and sisters, our world is broken, but God is at work, reconciling and restoring. Jesus didn't come just to reconcile me with my Father in heaven, but to reconcile and restore all things in heaven and on this earth. And that's far more than just us. Jesus came to begin the restoration of the world to how God intended it to be, to make all things new. The world is crying out, but God is at work, and we're invited to join him in a ministry of reconciliation. That means reconciling people to their Father, but also reconciling people to the creation we've been given to steward and seeing it restored. So I wonder how you will respond to this sermon and what you will choose to do going forward. I believe that this is an issue which is about the fullness of the gospel, about God's mission of reconciliation in, you know, the broader sense, and it's not just a side issue. I hope that we will choose to individually and as a church community to stand alongside Orbisa and all of those impacted by climate change around the world in lamenting climate change, and actually more importantly to stand with God in sharing his pain and grief about the harms we've caused to his creation. Let's choose to allow our lament, our godly grief, to be the rocket fuel for our prayer and for our action as we embrace God's heart to protect and restore creation. Just going to pray to end. It's just a short prayer. Father God, we thank you. Thank you that you are God of justice. Thank you that you know Orbisa and her family and all those already suffering from the climate crisis. Jesus, we are sorry for the ways we've damaged your creation. Help us make changes in our own lives to love our global neighbours well. Holy Spirit, would you stir the hearts of our governments, guide them in all their decision-making, and inspire them to protect the most vulnerable. Amen.